45, I want to share a message entitled The Big Picture. The Big Picture. We have a family tradition, and I was looking through the closet last night downstairs. It has gone on for a bunch of years because we have a bunch of puzzles. And what we do is we take, you can see some thousands, some 2,000s. This is a 2,000 hot air balloons. And how many know that you took one piece, and tried to make sense of it? How many know it would be pretty meaningless, right? It's like, I want you to build something out of this. And you'd look at me like I was absolutely crazy. So what we do is, we dump out 2,000 pieces. And then we fight for who gets the big picture. Because without this big, does anybody else do puzzles? In other words, without this, this is impossible. And so we pass this around, and somebody would be working on this sort of big picture, and somebody else would be working on a different balloon, and somebody else got the lake, and but without this box, how many would agree with me? This isn't going to happen. You could spend a whole bunch of time trying to make this into something, and unless you're incredible, you're going to struggle, and this is not going to happen, because we need the big picture. And so we've got a bunch of them. We've got the Coca-Cola one from 1 year, and it's got, it should be a Diet Coke one, they didn't have one. But it's got all the little sayings, it's got all the cute little stuff. And I was thinking this morning, what if I took some Diet Coke or some Coke pieces out of this one? Claudia's giving me that look. Just five of them, and I threw them in the balloon. What kind of havoc would that wreak? Of somebody trying to get this to fit and it not working. See, one thing I think, and I don't have notes on this today, but do you know, my big picture probably looks different than your big picture. I think there's a God big picture. In other words, he wants everyone to be saved. And we're all a part of that plan. God's got a big picture. But if you take some of my pieces and try and put them in your puzzle, how many know that you're going to get really frustrated? And you're going to be looking all over and it's not going to work. And so this is the Coke one. I only got a few more. This is the Times Square one. And it's got all the different lit up buildings and all the different lights. I know I'm not going to give you a history of all of our puzzles. But, you know, I was thinking of this. The enemy tries to convince us that we can do some things that are wrong and that they'll somehow fit. And somehow it'll work out. We can be selfish at times. We can get angry and vindictive at times, and it will be okay. And how many know that the enemy's pieces, and I hope this doesn't sound too simple, but they don't fit in the big picture of what God wants to do. And so when he tells us to pray for people who treat you like dirt sometimes, it's part of God's big picture. He's concerned with the big picture of our character. He's concerned with the big picture of our holiness. And so when he tells us to do certain things or not do certain things, you know, God has a plan in mind that just like we take the box, and we look at the big picture and we say, okay, this is where we got to end up. You and I have to end up walking a holy life. We have to end up obeying God's word and ready to share the gospel, ready to be a witness, ready to be used by others. I love the story of Joseph. And I don't even think we have to read the scriptures, but we all know God's word. Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers. They were jealous of him. He was the favorite, and his dad got him a coat of many colors, and they got to go work on the farm. And so when Joseph shared his dream, hey, just so you guys know, you're all going to bow down to me. How many know it didn't go over too well? It was not the ideal thing for him to share. And so he shares his dream, and they get mad, and they sell him into slavery at the age of 17. Now, 13 years later, he interprets a dream for Pharaoh. 7 years of plenty later, we are 20 years after he was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, famine starts. 2 years after that, his brothers and his family back in the promised land are out of food. So we are 22 years removed from him being thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, Potiphar's house, falsely accused of rape. I think we all know the story. But when you stop and think of it, God's big picture was there's a famine coming. I'm going to send Joseph ahead of them. And that's what Genesis 45 says. God said, listen, I sent you ahead of them because in the big picture of things, I saw there was going to be a famine. I saw what was going to happen, and I prepared for it. You know, if you and I could realize, I'm going to trip here today and embarrass myself. If we could realize that God has a big picture for our lives. He has a purpose for each one of us, and there's something he wants to do. See, the reason wasn't so that Joseph could be promoted. The reason was so that Joseph could provide food for his family and they would not perish. Here's an amazing thought. Jesus was descended from one of Jacob's 12 sons, Judah, who was preserved because Joseph was thrown in the pit. Because Joseph was thrown in the pit, because Joseph provided food for his family, Judah stayed alive, Jesus was descended from him. If you want an idea of the big picture of what God was doing, Joseph being thrown into the pit was one piece. It may be bigger than this, okay? Like, put five or six of them, glue them together. He was thrown into a pit, but the big picture, hey, the Savior of the world is going to be born for one of those people that you're providing food to. And there's no way Joseph could know that. And I do not think that, even in my own life, I don't think I have any clue of the total big picture. I have little glimpses sometimes. You know when you start to put the pieces together and you get one of the balloons done and it starts to make a little bit of sense. But the reality is, we have a sense of where God's going. I can read scripture after scripture about, hey, this is what God's doing. But there's a big picture. There's a big picture in terms of those of you with little kids. There's a big picture in terms of their lives. You know, they disobey you in something. And part of you says, who cares? If you do it again, you know, you're in trouble. And then you tell them for the fourth time, if you do it again, you're in trouble. But you know the big picture? They're going to need character. In the big picture, they're going to need to be honest. In the big picture, if they get lying into their character, it will catch up to them. And whatever God has, it will mess them up. Big picture parents deal with the little things out of love. Does that make sense? And sometimes it's a hassle. Sometimes it's like, you know, It's the bottom of the ninth inning. There's two outs, the bases are loaded, there's two strikes, and you've got to deal with your child. You know, sometimes it doesn't come in convenient moments, but there's a bigger picture that we forget about. I listened to a story, and I don't know that I've totally processed it, but a professor at Cairo University, he was a believer, he was a Christian, was listening to a presentation that the entire university staff was there by a leading Muslim scholar, and he was really ripping Christianity up one side and down the other. He was, you know, espousing the virtues of Islam, but he was saying Christianity absolutely does not work. It's an unlivable religion. And then he opened it up for questions and answers, and the Christian professor raised his hand and he said, "You know, I don't know why you said." He said, "I'm a Christian, and I don't understand why you said Christianity is unworkable." And the Muslim scholar said, "Come up here to the front." And the Christian professor came up to the front. And when he got there, they say in the story that the Muslim professor pulled his hand back as far as he could, and he ripped a five-handed slap against the guy's face. And the guy himself said it wobbled him, like he shook. And he said, "Okay, now turn the other cheek. That's what your religion says." And he said he mustered every bit of strength he had, and he turned the other cheek to this man. And the man said, "You know what? Let's just skip that. Give me your shirt." And this professor, Christian, in Cairo University took off his shirt. You know, the scripture says if someone asks for your shirt, give them your coat also. And he took off his shirt, and the professor, and obviously he was out to humiliate him, he said, "You know what? Give me your pants too, and we'll be done." And the guy, he thought about it. He obviously was about to be humiliated. He turned around to the entire crowd, every professor in the university, and said, "You guys know me. You know I would not do this, but I have to today." And he took off his pants, gave the guy his pants and shirt, walked down the middle aisle of an auditorium, and it's not a sixth rower like ours where you get out quick. And he went back to his office, and he wept, and he wept, and he wept. He closed his door, and he was humiliated. We can picture it, right? Embarrassed, everything under the sun. And a while later, and I forget the time, there was a knock on his door. And he didn't want to open it, and the knock came again. And he went out to the door, and he opened it, and there was a line of Muslim students lined up as far as he could see, wanting to apologize and wanting to talk about Christianity. You know, the big picture of what God is doing in our lives, because I think he calls all of us to different things. He calls us to be faithful in areas that we don't want to sometimes. He causes us to give beyond what other people are giving, and we compare and we don't like it. But God has a big picture. And when you look at Joseph, the big picture was that the Savior was going to be born from those people that if someone didn't get them food, they died. Does that go to Genesis, if you're in Genesis 45. Joseph meets his brothers. In verse 4, he said, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine. And for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." I really believe, and maybe it will not be so dramatic in each of our lives, and maybe it won't involve going to another country, and it won't involve all that Joseph's did, but I believe God has a big picture. if you and I will yield for each of our lives. I believe there's a big picture for getting through what we're going through. I think there's a big picture for trusting God when we don't know why things are happening. We don't know why we're on crutches and no one else's. We don't know why it happened for the third time or whatever it is, but God's got a big picture. Maybe there's someone in urgent care that needs to see my faith. Maybe there's someone that down the road I can tell about what God, how God got me through. We can trust that God has a big picture and live out our faith the way God intended. Because some of the things don't make sense. Some of the things God asks us to do are counterculture, trusting Him in difficult times. But God's got a big picture. You can stand up. Come on. Some of the big pictures, I just wrote down a few scriptures. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. We look at where we go and some of the things that God does. And in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 2, it says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men." For all men. So what does it say? He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, and he gave himself for all men. If you want to look at the big picture, God intends to use every one of us. And this is not about some are evangelists, some aren't. God wants to use every one of us to try and share the gospel, to try and be a light in the darkness that all men might be saved. You know, one of the quotes that I read this week by Bonhoeffer, he said, "Our lives should cause people who are not saved to question their unbelief." Should cause people who are not saved and don't believe to question what they believe. We question our Christianity. He said, no, the opposite. The way you respond to difficulty, the way you respond to trials and hard times should cause someone who doesn't believe to say, what does he have or she have that I don't? Because I want what they have. You know, the bigger picture is that, and sometimes we look at one piece, Lord, I have worked too many hours this week. This is ridiculous, and our lives revolve around our jobs or what's going on at home. You know, there's an eternity. How many know the big picture is there's a life after this one? And if we lose sight of the big picture that this life is not everything. This life is not all there is. We better get everything out of it that we can. We better take the wet washcloth and wring it and wring it and wring it and get every drop because this is it. I'm going to get old like Pastor. I won't be able to do the things I want to do. Let's enjoy life. Let's realize there's a life after this one. We are going to meet our Savior. We are going to spend eternity in heaven. And that's got to be part of the big picture of how we live. Amen. That we want to meet Jesus. We want to know Him when we arrive in heaven. We don't want it to be the one scripture in Revelation says that He will wipe away all tears. And it's a hard one to figure out. Why would people get to heaven and they see the Savior and they're ushered into eternity and they're crying? And the one plausible explanation is the tears of those who realize, I didn't live and honor my Savior. My life didn't reflect what He did for me. He died on the cross, He suffered for my sins, And I did everything I could to do my own thing. Those are the tears of regret. We want to live our lives, but I don't see how without seeing the big picture. I challenge you, take these pieces or one of the ones I didn't show you. Try and put it together with no picture. That's why when Carrie said that one quote, we read our Bibles. The Bibles gives us little glimpses of what the big picture is like. God cares what the world thinks of you and I. He wants the unsaved around us, and I'll even say this, other Christians around us. How many know that it's way easier when a non-Christian treats you rotten than a Christian, right? I mean, really, it's like, if a Christian does it, if a non-Christian does it, it's okay, that's what they do. In other words, that's what we did when we weren't saved. But if a Christian does something, then it's worse, and we struggle more. God wants us to have a testimony. God wants the world around us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. There's bigger pictures. Faith trusts that our lives fit into the big picture of God's perfect plan. What's happening to us fits into what God wants to do. 1 Peter 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. In the big picture of things, our testimony matters. How we react to difficulty matters. How we respond to trials matters, not in the little one piece part of our lives, but in the overall scheme of things. In the overall scheme of things. You know, people do stuff to us, and I'm sure if we stop for a minute, we could all think of something that we deserve to be bitter about and mad about. And we would say, it's fair. Amen? In other words, we can all raise our hand. This wasn't fair. This wasn't right. I have a right to be angry and mad. But you know, in the big picture of things, God sees that hate gets on the inside of a person. And in the big picture of things, God sees that anger and bitterness and hatred ruin the hater. I love the phrase, hatred hurts the hater. Doesn't hurt the one that gets hated. It hurts us. And so if there's someone that, you know, I love everyone here, but oh, I hate when they even mention their name. Well, loser's me. You know, the little picture, yeah, what they did was wrong. The bigger picture, God's protecting me when He says, love your enemies. See, we think it's some meaningless rule, like, okay, Christianity, I'm supposed to love my enemies. Can I tell you, it's bigger picture living, and it's protecting you from getting something on the inside of you that will mess you up. When I was a little kid, I was thirsty. We were in the basement of our house playing on a Sunday night, and I did not want to go all the way upstairs for a drink. And so I drank this thing. It had B-L-E-A-C-H on it. I didn't know what it was, but I was thirsty. And so I drank it down, and it did not work out that well. And the reason it had, like, the crossbones and the poison thing on it, because on the inside of me, it was not so good. And they had to get all sort of stuff in me to wash it out. God doesn't want junk on the inside of you that will mess you up. He loves you too much. It's not an arbitrary set of rules that says, you know, if someone wants your coat, give them your cloak too. Just don't fight. Don't fight. Just give it to them. God has a bigger picture in store for our lives. I have a picture in my office of my dad and I, and it's toward the end of his life. I was sitting on a chair next to him. Mrs. D will tell you, but you know, That picture of my dad and I is one small 5x7 of a way bigger picture that I'm reminded of my dad and how he lived and who he was. It's a small picture, but it fits, and I hope I'm making sense and this goes somewhere. It fits into a way bigger picture. And our lives fit into way bigger pictures. God's got people that he wants you and I to influence. He's got people that he wants us to make a difference in their lives. And it's as we realize we are not living for ourselves. Joseph was not just one person. Hey, just make the best of being in Egypt. There was a picture so big that from Joseph's being faithful in Egypt, he could have chafed. He could have been bitter. He could have not forgiven. His brothers could have come, and he could have said, "You're the last people I'm feeding. Get out of here. Go back to Canaan. You can forget it." He fed them. And from the people he fed, Jesus was born. I don't know about you guys. I love that. I love that out of the people he fed, Jesus was born. There was a bigger picture than being thrown in the pit. There was a bigger picture than being accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. Because here's what the big picture looked like. Joseph, I need you to meet the butler who's going to introduce you in 2 years to, or in so many years to Pharaoh, and you're going to interpret the dream. You're going to feed people. Your family's going to make it. Jesus will be born. How do you fit being accused of rape into the big picture of, I've got to get you where I want you to be when I want you to be there because I've got something important for you to do? There's a big picture for your life, and I believe for each one of our lives that we can flow into. That little picture of my dad reminds me of the same jokes every Christmas about how much money my mother spent. It reminds me of every time we would go for dinner and we'd sit down at the table. He would say, "Joey, you should come over more often. I never eat like this." And every single time. It reminds me of how we never left New York without a little bit of cash that he would pretend he was shaking my hand and slip into my hand and instruct me what to buy for the kids. It reminded me every Sunday how he'd get donuts and bagels for my sister, and he was literally using a walker. And he would go to the store, get her donuts and bagels, put them on her front porch every Sunday morning. See, the little 5x7 reminds me of a way bigger picture. And I think that we need some things to remind us this morning. Our lives are part of a way bigger picture. Amen. This is not about today. It's not about what we're going through this week. There is so much yet ahead. Joseph, can you picture that first night in prison? He's been faithful in Potiphar's house. He's done everything. He's had the right attitude, even though he was treated like the bad stuff. He had the right attitude. And what does he do? Gets accused of rape. And he said, "You know what? I don't know how he did it, because I don't know that I would pass this test. But here he's accused of rape after doing everything right. And he said, "You know what? My life's part of a bigger picture. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. I'm going to be faithful in this dirty prison because my life's part of a bigger picture." You know, I pray for the grace of God for all of us to realize that God has so much more. There's so much more going on. Big picture living. I don't understand why you're allowing, and we all get to fill in the blank, okay? We all get to fill in the blank for our own story. I don't understand why you're allowing. I don't understand why you're not answering this prayer. But I trust that if I respond the way you've asked me to, There's a bigger picture that I can't see right now. And that's really what God wants to speak this morning. There's a bigger picture to our lives that makes it worth not giving in to sin, not giving in to selfishness, to greed, to immorality, to whatever area we want to say. There's a bigger picture, and it makes it worth it. There's a bigger picture that says don't give up. There's a bigger picture that said God's ways always will work. In 2 Kings 6, Elisha's servant woke up. Two more minutes. Elisha's servant woke up. He saw the city surrounded by the enemy, and they were getting ready to come down and take Elisha. But Elisha had a different viewpoint, and his eyes were opened. And if you remember the story, he saw the chariots of fire and the army of God surrounding the enemy army. And he said, "What are you worried about?" He could see something more. You know, I think there's grace this morning to see there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. For those of you raising children, there's a bigger picture. For all of us living out our lives, God's got something more. There's a bigger picture. We may not know what it is. We may not have such a wonderful blueprint to follow. But we've got God's Word. And that's a blueprint for bigger picture living that we can follow. I wrote down God's painting on a canvas we can't see or imagine. He's painted a picture with us in it. And it's a way bigger picture than we can see today on a Sunday morning with 30 or 40 people with all the kids. We can't see the picture. But God's doing something. Jesus went to Lazarus. Last point, and we're going to pray. I'm looking at my notes because I didn't look at them yet. He sees bigger than us. He knows more than us. He's doing more. And then the last point, he's running the universe. He's running the universe. I think I can trust him with Jody Pasquale. And you can put your name in the blank. You know, Lazarus, his sister sent word to Jesus, "Our brother that you love is sick." And you guys know the story. Jesus didn't go running. He didn't go running to heal Lazarus before he died. Says he stayed two more days where he was, and the result was that Lazarus died. Jesus waited. See, there was a bigger picture than Lazarus being healed of sickness. There was a bigger picture that God wanted to reveal that death was not the end of the matter. God wanted to reveal Jesus was the resurrection and the life. He wanted to show that he had power over death. He did not do what they told him to do because there was a bigger picture. "Lord, our brother's sick. Come." Jesus said, "No, I'm not coming right now." You know, if we question the whys and the why nots at the level of one or two pieces or three, we will go crazy. Why not, Lord? I asked you to come. You said you love me and you're not healing me. It's a bigger picture. We be faithful. We trust God. He'll fill in the blanks. Amen?
Amen?
Bigger picture living. Let's stand and pray. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. You are painting on a canvas we can't see or imagine. Painting a picture with us in it to use for your glory. There was a bigger picture for Joseph. There was a bigger picture for Lazarus, and help us to see, Father, each one of us here, Lord, each one of us here, help us to see that our lives are a part of something you are doing on the earth. To influence man, to draw men and women closer to you, to touch them with your love, to touch them with your faithfulness, and each one of us is one piece of a big puzzle of what you are doing. Help us to be faithful. Help us to trust you. Help us to stop living so narrowly, Lord, and I confess that myself. I live in the moment and not looking at the big picture of all that you could be preparing me for and all that could lie ahead. Help us to take this, Lord, and just to live out the big picture. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless everyone. The youth have...